Happy Resurrection Sunday. Is this a good day? Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, the children of God. And I just say hallelujah. I've been rejoicing all week long. I hope you have too. I mean, we should have this mindset every single day. When we wake up in the morning, we should be thinking these thoughts. Right. That God Himself came and gave His life for us. Paid the price for our sins. And through Him we're forgiven and we have new life. And as we wake up every morning, if we put that kind of thought into our mind, what can come against us? I mean, truly, what can come against us if we start the day off rooted and grounded in the truth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, He's resurrected, He has victory over sin and death, and we're in Him. He's applied it all to us, His people. I don't have that all in my notes. I'm just excited this morning, okay? Jesus is alive. He is risen. You know what? And that is a biblical and a historical fact. Google it. After coming to this earth, being born as a baby, flesh, in the flesh, after growing up and then ministering for 3 years on this earth, miracles and preaching and signs and wonders and amazing stuff, the world crucified Him. Beat Him. Nailed Him to a cross. And He shed His blood for us. He died. Physical death. He died. He was put in a grave, but that's not the end of the story. And that's what we're celebrating this morning, right? He didn't stay in the grave. Death couldn't keep Him down. He rose from the dead, having victory over sin and death. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is, it's the most significant event in all history. It's the pinnacle of redemptive history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone on which all of our hope rests. Jesus is alive. And here's some additional amazing news, if that wasn't enough. Check this out. Jesus has not kept this resurrection for Himself. He hasn't. He's applied it to us. He's applied the victory over sin and death to our lives. You see, we who are in Christ Jesus, who've surrendered our lives and said, we can't save ourselves. We're lost. We need a Savior. Those of us who have said, we need a Savior, and it is You, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus, also because of Jesus' victory over sin and death, we have victory over sin and death. And let me tell you about that whole victory over sin thing, because we're going to go into the victory over death a lot in detail this morning. It's going to be exciting. But I don't want to just rush past the victory over sin, amazing, powerful aspect of the resurrection. What that means is that just as Jesus crushed sin through Calvary and through the resurrection, He's applied that same power that crushed sin to our lives. He's given us His powerful, amazing grace. We sing about amazing grace, and sometimes we just think about the forgiveness side of God's grace. But it's the power of God that forgives us and gives us the power to say no to sin. So that sin doesn't control us. You guys know, you who are in Christ Jesus, those of you, you know how guilty and how messed up you feel when you sin. How torn up in your conscience and in your spirit you feel when you sin. Right? Well, we don't have to live that way. All bound up inside, confused and frustrated and feeling yucky and controlled by these outside forces of sin and temptation. Because Jesus was resurrected. Because He crushed sin and crushed death. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good news. That's good news for some of you right now where you may have an addiction or some sin that keeps coming at you. It's messing up your life. It's messing up your marriage, your relationship with your kids, whatever it might be. You, in Christ Jesus, you can crush that sin. In fact, the work's already been done to crush it. It's just coming alive in the reality of who you are in Christ. And I'm telling you what, I've walked through it, okay? I'm still walking through it in other areas. But I've seen sin crushed in my life, not because I'm so wonderful and I can just say no better than somebody else. No, it's because of the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. It's because of the victory that Jesus has and has had and has applied to us over sin and over death. But check this out. In the end, just as Jesus experienced the actual resurrection of his physical body, in the end, we too, who are in Christ Jesus, will experience the actual physical resurrection and complete transformation of our bodies. That's awesome. Jesus was resurrected. His physical body was brought back to life. It was glorified. It was made new. It was transformed. Why? Why did Jesus have to physically come back to life? Couldn't God have done it some other way? Why go to all that trouble? Well, number one, the first reason is to show the world his victory over death. You can't deny it. Hundreds and hundreds of people saw him physically walking this earth again. They touched him. They recognized him to demonstrate his victory over physical death. The other reason that Jesus came back to life physically and just doesn't exist today as a spirit form. The reason that Jesus exists today as the physical man Christ Jesus sitting physically at the right hand of the Father in the flesh. The other reason is because this is the condition or the state in which Jesus wants to spend eternity with us. Jesus wants to spend eternity with you physically and spiritually. He wants a complete relationship with you for all eternity. He doesn't want to be cheated out of any of you. He wants all of you, the spiritual side and the physical side. He loves you. And so this is our destiny. Those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our destiny is that we too, our bodies, will be physically resurrected, brought back to life. Transformed, clothed with immortality. Why? So that God's plan, so that the desire of his heart will be accomplished. And that is to spend eternity with his bride, physically and spiritually. What's so cool is, you know, when this happens, we're going to be able to see him. With our eyes, with real eyes, and really see him in the flesh. We're going to be able to hear him audibly. There may be some in this room who have been blessed to actually hear the audible voice of God. I unfortunately have not heard the audible voice yet of God. I have felt it in my spirit so strong. It sounded and resounded in me almost as if it was audible. But when my body is resurrected, and I spend eternity with Jesus, I will hear his voice with my ears. I will get to touch Jesus Christ. Manny, just like this. I'll get to touch him. He'll get to touch me. I'll get to feel his touch. I will get to walk with Jesus. See him face to face. This is an amazing plan that God has for us. His children. It's spectacular. It's huge. And it's because he loves us. He loves us. He loves you. This is the future that he wants, that he desires. And this is one of the primary reasons he came to this earth. He shed his blood. And he was raised again in power by his heavenly Father. So that this eternity will happen for him and for us. So this morning we celebrate Easter. As we continue our study called Future Matters, our survey of the book of Revelation, you're like, hey, wait a minute.
how does Resurrection Sunday, Easter, and the book of Revelation, how do those things go together? Well, they go together perfectly, like Shamalama Ding Dong. That's a really old song, even before my time, but I loved it. They go together. We're going to take a look at the glorious future plans that our Savior, our King, our Lord has for us that include the actual resurrection of our physical bodies. We will not remain in the grave, but we will be raised from the dead and spend eternity with Jesus Christ in glorified, imperishable bodies. Death isn't going to win. Death will not win in your life. Death does not have the victory in the life of a believer. It sounds like science fiction, I know. Bodies coming back to life. Being made strong and powerful. Have you ever seen those kind of, those cartoons and, what was that show that you just watched? Captain America, the body's being made strong and perfect and they look so good and all that. I know it sounds like science fiction, but you read the Word of God as we're going to go into His Word and read about this. This is going to happen to our bodies. Sounds like science fiction, but it's reality. It will be reality for the people of God. Our bodies will come back to life and they're going to be amazing. You think I look good now. You just wait. A little humor on Easter Sunday is good for the soul. You just wait. We're going to look so good. We're going to feel so good. That's the plan that God has for your life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hey, do you think this is worth talking about this morning, on Easter morning? Is this worth talking about? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 55. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to a church in a town called Corinth. Corinth was essentially the Las Vegas of the day. It was Sin City. But there's a church, there's a group of people there who love the Lord, who are experiencing the victory over sin, living for the Lord. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes the believers in Corinth. He says in verse 50, I declare to you. In other words, saying, hey, this is a fact, brothers. Can't deny it. This is a fact. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I'm going to tell you a mystery here. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Hey, we're already getting some pictures here that we see in Revelation. Remember they talk about the trumpets and everything? Okay. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable, that's our bodies right now, that are decaying and dying. It's a bummer, I know. But it's all going to be made right. Don't worry. When the perishable, though, has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's a quote from Isaiah 25, verse 8. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Hallelujah. Do we hear what the Apostle Paul is telling the church, is telling us even today? He's declaring to us that there is a day when our current perishable, aching bodies are going to be resurrected in glorified newness of life and be imperishable. This is God's plan for us, and it will happen. It will happen. It's not an if. This will happen because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a guarantee. The price has already been paid. The victory has already been won. This is our future. It seems to me, though, that this hope of resurrection doesn't necessarily have that same place of prominence and power in the modern church today as it did with the early Christians. We don't talk about this a lot. You know, I think it's because we've developed somewhat of a wrong, skewed view of eternity. We don't necessarily look at the Bible and interpret what we want for eternity. In fact, I was watching this show late the other night called The Five. It's on Fox News. Maybe I shouldn't announce that to everybody, but anyway. It's called The Five, and it's just like a commentary show. And they were going around, and they were asking one another, and this was, I believe, on Good Friday, they were asking one another what they thought about heaven, what their view was about heaven. And the answers that they came out with, and some of these here are, most of them, actually, I think all of them on the show are professing Christians. And the answers that were coming out were very interesting. Well, this is how I'd like to think it's going to be. Well, this is how I think it should be. You know, the answers were kind of like people creating what they think or what they view eternity should look like. Rather than going to Scripture and saying, well, this is what God has planned for us. And by the way, all the answers that they gave were piddly. Were nothing compared to what God's Word says our eternity is. They were selling themselves so short compared to what God has planned for us. See, when we talk about the future sometimes today and about the eternal, we usually talk about heaven, and that's good. Heaven is for real. Heaven is for real. But when we talk about heaven, we tend to talk about heaven and about all eternity forever, our eternal existence, in kind of phrases like non-material. We think of it as non-material, kind of ethereal, kind of disembodied spirit state of existence for all eternity. And while heaven is good, it's not the rest of the story. Some of you are familiar with Paul Harvey. And now for the rest of the story. How many of you want to know the rest of the story that's in God's Word? God has a rest of the story for us. Heaven is good, but there's a final chapter that has been written. A final state of existence with God that's been shown to us and declared to us that is so amazing. We may have gotten so heavenly minded that we've forgotten that Scripture tells us our ultimate hope and destination is eternity with Jesus in resurrected physical bodies. Our hope isn't floating around on the clouds in heaven, although our time in heaven is going to be awesome. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God. But we will not spend eternity in that state. We will not spend eternity floating on clouds playing harps. For all of you harp players, I'm sorry. I'm sure that you can get a new harp on the new earth, and it will be incredible. But that's not our ultimate hope. Our hope is living with Jesus on a new earth in glorified bodies, physical bodies. It may be blowing some of your minds right now that I'm saying this, but we got it from 1 Corinthians. We're going to hear it again from Thessalonians. We're going to hear it again from Revelation. This is the Word of God. You know, Paul did also write to the church in Thessalonica about this future reality. And he encouraged those who had lost loved ones, those who lost loved ones who were believers, who were in Christ Jesus. Many of them were lost because they were martyred at that time. They were killed because of their faith. They knew Christ Jesus, but their bodies were in the grave. And he encouraged those who lost loved ones, not with the fact that they are in heaven, as great as that is right now. But he went beyond that. His encouragement to those who had lost loved ones was that they would ultimately be raised in bodily form, newness of life, from the dead, in time to participate in the coming of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? We're going to read about this here in just a moment from 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul. He's encouraging those who have lost loved ones who are in Christ
with the fact that their loved ones are going to be raised physically from the dead in new glorified bodies, imperishable, immortal, in time for the second coming of Jesus Christ, to participate with Jesus in His second coming. Now that's exciting to think about. I just lost my grandmother a few months back. She loves the Lord. Her body looked very broken the last time I saw her last summer. There is a day that I can take to the bank right now, that I can take with me into eternity, that my grandmother is going to be raised from the dead in a new body. I mean, I'm going to get to see her in a way I've never seen her before. Because she's always been grandma to me, right? A little older, a little more broken, kind of like I'm starting to feel the older I get. Harder and harder to play basketball, ache and ache more and more after I play. My grandkids are going to see me as I am when I'm in my 50s. Probably. Something like that. I'll be about that old or so. But I get to see my grandmother in a resurrected body, jumping and running and praising God and looking amazing. This is the truth that God has for us. This is the plan that He has for all of us who are in Christ Jesus. This is how much He loves us. He loves us. It's so much bigger. It's so huge. It's going to be a mind blower, and it's really going to happen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. I'm kind of excited about this teaching, by the way, if you couldn't tell. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Again, Paul writes to the church, this time in Thessalonica. He says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. I want you to think rightly about eternity here," is what he's saying. "And we don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." See, because we're in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in Him. "We believe..." Very key here. Listen. "We believe that Jesus died and rose again." Jesus died and rose again. He was resurrected, physically brought back to life. "And so we believe that God will, because of Jesus' resurrection," check this out, "and so, because Jesus was resurrected, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him." Praise God. Look, what this passage just said is that because Jesus was resurrected, and because it's God's plan, here's what's going to happen. Jesus isn't going to come back and leave everyone in the grave. They're going to be resurrected in new bodies, imperishable, glorified bodies like the body that Jesus is in right now. And they're going to be with Jesus, and He's bringing them back with Him to live forever with Him. Now that's a future. That's an amazing future that we can hold on to. When you're having a bad day, when your bones are aching, when you're not feeling well, remember the amazing plan that God has for you and the price at which it was paid. Let's continue. Verse 15. "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you," the word of God here, "we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep." Check that out. First in, first out. If you're familiar with FIFO, LIFO, and all that stuff. First in, first out. I mean, we're not going to precede them. Those who've fallen asleep, who are physically in the grave right now, are going to be kind of the first in line behind Jesus, if you know what I'm saying. "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." They will rise. They won't stay in the grave. Those who are in Christ Jesus will rise from the dead. New bodies. "And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds." So we're going to all be together. It's you know, we're all there. "To meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage
each other with these words. I want to just say one thing before we blow past that we will meet the Lord in the air. We're going to see later on in our study in the book of Revelation that we don't stay in the air with the Lord. We meet Him in the air, and then we come down with Him onto the new earth. Big difference. We meet Him in the air. It's kind of like what happened on Palm Sunday. Jesus was outside the city. He was coming in. And what did all the believers who were all excited about Jesus do? They ran out of the city and they met Jesus. Woo! They created a processional, a big party, and they came into the city with Jesus, into Jerusalem. That was a prophetic picture of what's going to happen at the end of the age. The believers will go meet Him in the clouds and come down with Him onto the new earth and live with Him forever. Woo! That's awesome. That's awesome. I don't know if we're going to have palm branches or what we're going to do. Maybe fireworks and, you know, maybe the crazy Western guys will have their guns, bang, bang, you know, firing them in the air. I don't know, but it's going to be a party and it's going to be exciting as we get to usher Christ back to the new earth. Not just those who are still alive, but the dead will be raised first in order to engage in that procession and in all of that glory. That's exciting. Whew. Is this encouraging you this morning? God loves us. He loves us. And notice that the main hope that Paul is telling the church again is not that we leave our bodies and be with the Lord in heaven, although that is a great place to be. And it's a good place just by the grace and the love of God. That's wonderful. But it does get better than that. You see, Paul is taking it to the final conclusion, to the amazing hope that we have of ultimately being resurrected and with Him in the flesh and spirit forever and ever. This is our hope, to be with the risen Christ with a glorified and resurrected body like His glorious body. Let me just talk about that very briefly here. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, He came out. And it's interesting, again, it says, you know, the people had trouble recognizing Him right at first. Some people were like, is that really Jesus? And you can just see how it is, because now He's in a glorified, resurrected, imperishable body. The body that He was in actually when He walked on this earth and when He ministered was obviously perishable. And it was mortal because it died. It went in the grave, right? Because remember, He came down and was made just like us. And that was completely necessary. He would not be the Savior of the world unless that happened. And He would not be the Savior of the world and the one who has victory over sin and death unless He came and was in a mortal body and actually died and bled for us. But when He was resurrected, He received a new body that people could see and touch. Remember Thomas? He's like, you look like Jesus, but how can that be? You were dead. I saw you dead. Well, touch, feel. Feel, touch. They touched Him. They felt Him. Jesus was walking around, ministering again to people in a new glorious body that people recognized, but it was so much greater. It even says, I believe in Matthew, we were talking about this morning as we were driving into church early this morning, that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, there was so much power in His resurrection that the grave of saints began to, saints came alive. Came out of the grave. They weren't targeted, but there was so much power in the resurrection of Jesus that it just went. It went out. When people saw Jesus, they were like, whoa, whoa. I'm telling you what, we have the same future for us. We will have resurrected, glorified bodies that are imperishable and immortal, and people are going to, we're going to look at one another at that point, because it's going to kind of all happen at the same time for us. We're going to look at each other and go, again, like I said earlier, whoa, I recognize you, but man, you're looking good. Wow, wow. And frankly, I believe this solves one of those mysteries. Wasn't planning on talking about this now. But I believe this solves one of those mysteries. Are we going to be able to recognize one another in eternity? We say in heaven, but ultimately we know from God's word that means on the new earth as we're living for all eternity. Are we going to recognize one another? Well, they recognize Jesus. Right? And He is the first person. that's gone through that resurrection, that type of resurrection where his body was glorified, the same thing's going to happen to us. I think that answers the question. Oh, yeah, we're going to recognize one another. We're going to hang out with one another. We're going to eat with one another. We're going to minister with one another. We're going to do life with one another, just like the disciples, when Jesus came back in his glorified body, they did life with him again. They walked with him again. They ate with him again. They enjoyed him again in a whole new way. That's just kind of extra credit right there. When I read 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 55, we see again that it's our bodies that will be resurrected along the same thought process. It's our bodies that will be resurrected, not different bodies, not new bodies, but our bodies that will be resurrected, that will be changed, that will be made new. The perishable will be made new and imperishable. Our bodies will be glorified. They'll be made immortal. How many of you are ready for that to happen? I said it earlier. I mean, I feel aches and pains. You know, the older I get, a few more. It's because we live in a broken world and we are imperishable bodies. That's not our ultimate destiny. So why does all this matter? After all, don't we just want to be with Jesus? Does it really matter if we're just in a spirit form or in a physical form? Yeah, it does matter. It matters to God. And it should matter to us. And when we start getting the heart of God and the mind of God on all of this, it will matter to us. And we'll see there's no other way to be with God than ultimately how He created us to be with Him. Look back at Genesis. How were we created? We weren't created as spirit beings, as some religions would say, and then just given a body temporarily. No, we were created as human beings. We were formed by God and created by Him. And He breathed breath, life, into our nostrils. He created us to be human beings who have flesh and bones, who walk on an earth. And when He created us in that way, He said, "Oh, that's very good. That's beautiful. Do you see that? I love it. Look at those human beings that I just created. That brings glory to me. I am glorified in their bodies. I'm glorified in their existence. I'm glorified in what I've just created, and I love it. It is very, very good. Outstanding." And so God's plan is for us to live forever with Him in these resurrected bodies. That was His plan in the beginning. To live forever with Him. Physical and spiritual existence with Him. And He hasn't changed His plans. That's His desire. That's His plan for us. He's not going back on His plan. He will glorify Himself through human beings and human bodies. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Your body, your physical body. Paul didn't say, "Do you not know that your spirit is a temple in which the Holy Spirit lives in?" He said, "Do you not know that your body, your complete existence, the way you were created by God, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, a place where God Himself dwells and has His being? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price." What have we been talking about all weekend, Easter weekend? What price were we bought with? What purchased us? The blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, purchased us. We were purchased on the cross. We were purchased on Calvary. Your body is the temple of God, created by God, so that He would be glorified in you and through you. Do you not know that? and you were purchased and redeemed, even though sin came to try to mess it up and has been having some really nasty effects on you for a while. You've been redeemed. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the cross. Therefore, Paul continues, therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify Him with who you are, how God created you. Glorify Him in your body. Your physical body is important to God, and with it, He is glorified. Let me say that again. Your physical body is important to God, and with it, He is glorified. We need to remember that as we live every day of our lives. Our bodies were created to glorify Him, not to sin against Him. And we just talked about it earlier. We've been celebrating it all weekend. And again, we should celebrate this and remind ourselves every day of this fact that sin no longer needs to control us. Christ has a victory over sin. We do too. We can even today, even in a broken world, in bodies that are perishing, we can still glorify Him with our physical bodies, with everything and everyone that we are. And why is it, though, that God is going to go to all this trouble to, again, come down, to dirty His hands, to reestablish our bodies, and to clothe us with immortality? Why is He going to go to all this trouble again? Because His Son paid the price of His life so that God could be glorified in our bodies now and forever. The work of Jesus on the cross wasn't just some temporary fix. It was to change things for all eternity so that God's plans would be reestablished completely. You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your bodies. God will not dishonor the work of His Son. And that is why He will raise your body. He will raise your body. You will be resurrected because He will not dishonor the work of Jesus Christ. You were bought with a price. See, Jesus came physically. He died a physical death. He was raised physically so that we too will be completely renewed physically, so that God will be glorified and we will spend eternity with Him. You know, there's a faulty theology out there, faulty way of thinking called Gnosticism. It's been around the church since the beginning of time. In fact, when you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, we find the Apostle John is writing those letters because Gnosticism is so prevalent. And one of the cornerstones of that whole faulty belief is that the spirit is good and the flesh is bad. Everything spiritual is good. Everything, you know, flesh, dealing with the body, is bad. And as long as you just focus on the spirit, you know, on the spirit side of your being, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on with the flesh side. That's just not right thinking. That's not how we were created in the first place. In the beginning, remember how God created us? We just talked about that. He formed your body, your flesh. He breathed the life into you, made you breathe. He continues to breathe the life into you every single second of every single day. As I begin to conclude here, let's go to Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Remember, the dead will be resurrected to meet Jesus in the clouds, to come down with him. The church is the bride of Christ. We will be beautifully dressed. What does it mean, beautifully dressed? Our glorified, resurrected, imperishable, immortal bodies will be beautiful. Beautifully dressed for her husband, Jesus. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. Notice this is in context of a new earth coming down to live forever on a new earth. And the dwelling of God won't be in the clouds, but it will be on the new earth with men in resurrected bodies. In beautifully dressed bodies. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Before I continue, just let me say this. It is amazing. It is so amazing to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's incredible. And we can't even see him and touch him physically. And it's already amazing and life-changing and life-giving to us. Imagine on this day when he is dwelling among us and us with him physically. Imagine taking it to that next level. Maybe some of you have had long-distance relationships in the past. Maybe there's even some of you, because this happens so much now, that you've met your spouse originally online, and you have this long-distance relationship where you were getting to know one another. You were sharing your heart with one another. You were passing emails and making phone calls to one another, talking to one another, but you never were together, face-to-face. But you were developing this amazing relationship, but then you come together face-to-face, and you get to embrace one another. It takes the relationship to a whole nother level. I'm telling you what, folks, as amazing as the relationship that we have with the Lord is right now, it's only going to get better. It's going to go so much deeper and so much further. And the reason that's going to happen is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and because we will dwell with him forever physically. We will embrace him. We will get to touch him, to talk to him, to see him, to really do life with him on a new earth. And we're going to talk about that next week, this whole new earth thing. What's our existence going to look like? Oh, glorious. He will wipe away, in verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The perishable has been clothed with the imperishable. The mortal has been clothed now, and immortality has been put on. Our bodies have been glorified. There's a whole new order. There's a whole new way. Everything has been made new because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was resurrected, this is our future. It's awesome. I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And we look forward to our resurrected bodies. And as we look forward to our ultimate resurrected bodies, I do want to encourage us once again. Let's glorify the Lord today with our bodies, with our everything. The word was given earlier in our time of our prophetic ministry time. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Strength representing physical, body, strength. We're to love the Lord our God with our everything. Scripture tells us that we have all we need for life and godliness. We've been given all we need to love God now rightly because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and because of his victory over sin and death. So as we look forward to this amazing future, which I think most of us need to meditate on that a little bit longer and really let it sink in to what a glorious future God has for us. It just demonstrates the amazing love that God has for his children. I mean, he's going to a lot of trouble to be with us the way that he wants to be with us. But let's live for him today. Let's glorify him with our everything, our heart, mind, soul, and strength. How many of you think that God's ways are amazing? Amazing, aren't they? These are God's plans for us. So what I would like all of us to do right now is I would like us to stand up in our physical bodies, physically stand up in these amazing physical bodies that the Lord created us to have, that will be made new. I want us to raise our hands to the Lord. And I would just like for you right now, you don't have to do this loud, you can whisper it however you feel comfortable doing it. But I would like for all of us right now just to thank God with our mouths, verbally, with the mouths, the voice boxes that He's given us, to thank God for His amazing plans and His great love for us. Just thank Him even right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your ways are perfect, Lord. Your ways are amazing, so much greater than anything we could come up with. Oh, God. God loves us. God loves you. And God's plans for you and your loved ones who are in Christ Jesus, His plans are so amazing, so precious, so good, that He deserves our highest praise. He deserves our everything. He is so good. I'd like for us to just sing this song. The song that we're about to sing here gives us an opportunity to raise our voices once again and declare this reality that God has for us as His people. So let's sing this like we mean it and like we know it now as we've gone to God's Word.
Jesus has overcome. Let's declare this together.
And Jesus.